Welcome to Empower Church. Thank you for joining us today. We are a church that has been called by God, set apart by Him, and bound together by His love. A church that aims to reach the community, the nation, and the world with a message of hope. We hope this message will build your faith, give you godly perspective, and leave you empowered to impact your community and the world.
Hey guys, good evening, and welcome to our special service. And I know tonight is again going to be just one of those evenings, and again I say special because we want to be able to do so much more, but it is a special service as we are preparing for the 17th. And I wanted to go through a little bit of a journey tonight before I jump again into the word of the Lord, because there's so much to share. And tonight's going to be a good night. So good evening guys, welcome to everybody that's online and with us tonight. And won't you do me a favor and just say, just tell me where you're watching from. And again, I say good evening, and thank you once again just for all your love, all the giving, all the patience, just for this Sunday. We would much rather worship of you. But what the Lord is busy doing is absolutely incredible. And the word I'm going to share with you tonight is also, I believe, that's going to touch your heart. And I wanted to take a little bit of time tonight and just stand still for 30 seconds or so and just tell you a little bit about where we are and what's busy happening at Empower Church and what the Lord is busy doing. And so I just want to say good evening to all the guys of Cape Town, good evening to Durban, good evening, of course, to Pretoria, to Emlahleni, to Secunda, and to all the different places that Empower is busy reaching. And we would just want to say, guys, hey, good evening. Tonight, I want to speak to you about where is the power, part number two. And as I say, this is a special service. We're coming out of our TV broadcasting venue tonight to you, just to again give you the word of the Lord. And next week, Sunday, the 17th of October, we're going to celebrate hugely. We're going to go big as we celebrate the goodness of God at our harvest event. So don't miss the harvest event. Again, we want to ask every single one of you, please bring a friend. Please bring a loved one. Please bring an unsafe person. We want to see them at the harvest event. The harvest event is going to be powerful. The harvest event is going to be a day of celebration and just a full circle event where we're going to see so much more of what God is doing, wants to do, is going to do. And this morning we said it, and I wanted to say it again tonight as well. I want to backtrack just a little bit and just go over the last almost like 10 years, 15 years, maybe even greater than that. But just wanted to share with you one or two of the things as I just share my heart. Today's a special service because we're busy upgrading. And so our facilities are being busy upgraded. The whole of Empower Main, as you guys would have known it, is basically being upgraded right now. We have people that have worked right through this week. And they will continue to work through this week. And what you would be stepping back into on the 17th of October, next week, Sunday, you would be stepping into the future, you'll be stepping into the new, you'll be stepping into the upgraded version, you would be stepping into, it's almost like just a new place. And the Lord has brought us here, and hence I've requested last week, Sunday evening, and Sunday morning, that we would have grace for just this Sunday so that our guys can do a professional work which will last for us and for the generation to come. It's going to be obviously not a final picture, but it's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. I'm excited to show you. I'm excited for you to bring your family. I'm excited for you to bring the lost so that we can get everybody into the kingdom. Amen. And as you guys are busy watching tonight, I want to ask you, share this live stream, get it out, get the word of the Lord out before I'm going to go into it, and just share and get the word out, guys. And again, let's go into what I believe the Lord wants to share with us. But before I do that, I want to just quickly go down a little bit of a memory lane here. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to just sit with the prophetic words that we have been receiving over the last 10 or 15 or 20 years. And I found a lot of words from different prophets over the years that has been speaking to us as a church. And what was amazing about these prophetic words is every single one of them spoke about worship. Every single one of them spoke about creating a house of worship. Every single one of them spoke about God that wants to restore the tabernacle of David, and which we know is a house of praise, a house of worship. And so we've just felt to go flat out, to go with full faith and full confidence. And that's why this Sunday is just a special Sunday. It's a special broadcast. Of course, we want to have everybody here, but we're going to celebrate big time next week, Sunday. And so, won't you just on that live comments on both sides, won't you just comment back to me as we go? Because what I want to do tonight, I want to speak to you based on where is the power, and I want to do part two tonight. I spoke a little bit about this last weekend, and I want to do part two tonight. And so, as we go into the Word of the Lord, I want you to be able to just go with me, ready our hearts, and I'm going to pray tonight that your hearts will go open for that the Lord wants to share. I believe that the Spirit of the Lord can reach you right where you are, in your home, in your house, there where you are tonight, that tonight will be a powerful night. Let me say it like this. Who of you guys are expectant? Who of you guys are expectant that 2020 will be not just an average year, but it's going to be of the best years? I shared this morning that I believe that 2020 will be a year of restoration. 2020 will be a year of double. 2020 will be a year where we're going to see the restoration of the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me earlier on in this week, and He just said to me that 2022 is going to be a year of restoration. And He said double restoration. 2022 is going to be a year of double restoration. So there we are. Won't you just receive that? Won't you snatch that? Won't you take that? Won't you receive that unto yourself? Just as I take that for myself, I take that for my family. And then I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to jump into the Word of the Lord. Amen. And so, Father, I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can start tonight and just again say thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the amazing things that you are doing. Thank you, Father, that we can be in this position tonight, Lord, to have this special service, Lord, in run-up to what you're going to do and what you're busy doing in this church. Thank you, Father, that on 17th of October next week, we're going to see a massive harvest of people running into this church. Thank you that we will see people being saved, born again, renewed in Jesus Christ's name. We thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people say amen and amen. Guys, there where you're watching me from, tonight again, I want to share to you on where is the power. And I want to teach prophetically tonight, and the reason why we are teaching right from the start, and I'm preaching prophetically to you tonight, and this we have not neglected, but worship next week, it's going to be a next level. Everything is going to be in, and so our guys, our people are ready. We are ready for that, and next week it's going to be like a reveal. And again, I'm very, very excited. There's one word that I found yesterday as I was studying the prophetic words over my dad's life that people gave him. There was one word that stood out for me amongst all of the words, and it was this word. There was a word that a prophet gave him in 2011 where the guy said, or the prophet said these words. He said, 10 years of strategy, 10 years of church planting, 10 years of divine strategy. And then he said this, after you have restored the tabernacle of David. And I found that very interesting, because about 3-4 months ago, God came to me in a dream. And as God came to me in a dream, he said to me, 10 years of strategy, 10 years of church planting. And he literally showed me the stars. He showed me the star of Cape Town. He showed me the star of Durban. He showed me the star of Pretoria. And God showed me different stars, and he gave a 10-year window. And I found it amazing that the word that God initially gave to my dad went on to me, and now we are fulfilling that word. Who of you know that God is not just the God of Abram, but He is the God of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. In other words, the word of the Lord never fails. The word of the Lord never ceases. The word of the Lord never stops and it stands still. And if God gives His word cannot fail. Are you guys with me? And on Facebook, won't you just comment on that? And on YouTube and on Church Online. The word of the Lord cannot fail. And this is how the word of God works. And I want you to say this with me. Say with me tonight in the comment section, the word works. The word works. And I want you to understand that before I read the scripture, because the word of the Lord cannot fail. When God sends His word onto the earth, when God sends His word onto the planet, His word cannot fail. People can fail, situations can fail, circumstances can fail, but the word of the Lord can never, ever fail. The word of the Lord must come to pass. And this is how it works. When God speaks a word onto the planet, I always say it like this, God doesn't breathe in, He just breathes out. In other words, when He sends His word onto the earth, it has to come to fulfillment. And there's no ifs, there's not buts, and there's not maybe. When God sends His word onto the planet, it has to come to pass. Are you guys ready? Are you with me? And again, just say with me, the word works. Because I want you to understand this, the word works. And as God sends His word onto the earth, the word works. Are you there? And last week Sunday, and I just want to tie into what I said last week Sunday. I said this, that there's no assignment without assistance. And Jesus, and it's going to tie in beautifully with what I want to share tonight. When Jesus said to the disciples, go into Jerusalem and wait in Jerusalem until I send you power from on high. The word wait there is the word tarry. And then Jesus uses these words in Luke chapter number 24, verse number 49, Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8. And He says these words. And I want to just demonstrate that again. The Bible says that Jesus says, go wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And this word endued is the Greek word endue, which means to be dressed, to be clothed in power. So Jesus gives an assignment, but He doesn't give the assignment without the assistance. In other words, He gives the Spirit of God with the assignment. So the assignment comes with the assistance. And the Bible says that the disciples need to wait in Jerusalem. They needed to wait on God. And I always like it to say it like this. It's difficult to wait on God until a moment that you wish you had wait on Him. The Bible says, wait upon the Lord. Those that wait upon the Lord shall be renewed with new strength. So the disciples wait upon the Lord. The Holy Spirit comes upon them. And now the Bible says, ordinary men becomes extraordinary men because the Spirit of the Lord rests upon them. Can I say that again? Ordinary men becomes extraordinary men because the Spirit of the Lord rests upon them. What makes a difference in our lives is that we are ordinary people that serve an extraordinary God that has an extraordinary plan, not just to save a certain part of the world. God wants the world. God is in love with the world because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Are you guys there? Are you with me? And so I want to read for you just 2 Kings chapter number 4 and verse number 2. Because as I was studying this, the Lord gave me the scripture and I want to get revelation out to you. There we are. If you were in church tonight, I would have said to you, shout revelation. But now you can throw that into the comment section. Say with me, revelation. Just say there in the comment section, revelation. Because I want to get revelation to you tonight. Amen. And again, for the people that are joining us right now, this is a special service because we're rehauling, we're revamping the auditorium. And what you're going to see in the auditorium coming the 17th is going to be brand new. It's going to last us for years to come. And it's going to be exciting. So that's why we have this special service today. that we can just get this done. And then next week, we will be full-fledged going for it. In 2 Kings chapter number 4 and verse number 2, the Bible said this. So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And listen carefully what she says. So she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house, but," oh, we can preach just on that word, "but a jar of oil." Then he said, listen carefully. Then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall have shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And she said to her, and he said to her, "There is not another vessel." And so the oil ceased. I want you to see here, this is a strange thing to tell a woman. This lady comes, she's got nothing left. And Elijah says to her, he says, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." And then Elijah says this. Listen to what he says. He says, then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and do not just gather a few." And I'm speaking to you tonight about where is the power. And I want to give you a key to the power of God. Empty vessels produces full power. Can I say that again? Empty vessels produces full power. Empty vessels produces full power. And she had nothing yet. Yet the Lord, yet Elijah the prophet said to her, and he said to her, "Pour it out." In other words, this lady had a little bit of oil left, a little bit of oil left in her container. And Elijah says to her, he says, "Pour it out." And here's a key principle that I want you to have from the start of tonight. Empty vessels, full of power. And I want you to see something here, that the word for that's key for me here is again the words of Jesus. Jesus says, "Go wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And again, the word "endue" is the word to be dressed, to be clothed, to walk in. And if I can demonstrate for you guys, I want to demonstrate just again that you guys can get this. If you guys can just hand from this side, that I just want to get you guys that you can catch this, because if you can snatch this, I want you to see this, because this is going to help everybody again. And remember last week when you guys were with me, I demonstrated it like this, and it gives you a beautiful picture of how it means to be dressed with power. Jesus said, "Go wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Then I spoke to you that the word "endue" means to be dressed in or to be clothed in. Okay, now listen to me carefully. When I say to be dressed in and to be clothed in, it means that I am an empty vessel. I get clothed with the Holy Spirit. It almost looks like, you know, like a bull thing here. But are you guys okay? But what I want you to get is this, is to be dressed of power, to be clothed of power means the following. It means to come into or to be fully dressed in the Holy Spirit. In other words, and this is the key for me. In other words, when I am clothed or when I am dressed with power, it means that I am now encircled of power, or there's power that is all around me. Oh, guys, come on. Just talk back to me for a moment, because I want you guys just to get that and to catch that. Is everybody okay? Everybody good? And just show me this here on Facebook. I want to see that as well, please. When I was thinking about empty vessels, what the Lord showed me, and this is what the Spirit of the Lord showed me, that, and this is what I want you guys, everybody, to have, because I believe that it is very, very important that we have to be vessels of power. We have to have, we owe this world an encounter with power. Everybody there, everybody with me. And I want to just say this, because we owe this world a bona fide encounter with power. Oh guys, come on, there we are. Won't you just say amen to that? I just want to open up a note here. Won't you just say amen to that? Because this is key for me, for everybody to understand. We owe this world a encounter with power. This is very, very important. Vessels of power. Type there into the comment section. Type with me, vessels of power. Vessels of power. Because this is key. Quickly type in there the comment sections, vessels of power. Because I want to show you here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 7, I want to just show you something. Paul the Apostle says this, but we have this treasure in jars of clay, so that the passing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Please see the scripture, what he's saying here. He says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. In jars of clay. Now, the word jars of clay here is the Greek word ostrapanos. And I know that's a massive word and you don't need to remember the word, but what you just need to remember is what I'm going to symbolize now for you. This word clay here is the Greek word ostrapanos. Now, the word ostrapanos, or the Greek word clay here, is the word, obviously, for this vessel or for this body. And the word ostrapanos means a cheap type of clay. It's not an expensive type of clay. It was a very cheap type of clay. And for us to have full insight to what it means to be vessels or jars, like Paul the Apostle says, but we have these treasures in jars of clay. For us to understand what Paul the Apostle is busy saying, we have to understand Revelations chapter number 1. Are you there? And in Revelations chapter number 1, the Bible says that Jesus Christ walks around in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. And that word, that Greek word there, the candlesticks, is the Greek word ostrapanos. Do you guys just check here, please? Is the Greek word ostrapanos. And the Greek word ostrapanos here means, is the same word for clay here. But I want you guys to get the picture of the word ostrapanos here, because this is very powerful, and I want you to catch the word ostrapanos, or I want you to catch the word clay here. Everybody there, everybody with me. Quickly give me some feedback. Just give me some feedback here for a moment. Just quickly talk back to me, because I want to share just a few. Revelation chapter number 1, we're speaking about jars of clay. And what we are speaking about here is that we're speaking about that we are the containers. We are the jars of clay. Are you there? Are you with me? And guys, everything I'm talking about tonight is so important, is so key for us, that everybody understands what I'm saying. Now, in New Testament times, what people would have done, they would have taken a jar, and inside of this jar, they would have placed oil, and inside of the oil, they would have placed a wick. And this wick would have run out of the jar clay, out of the mouth of the lamp, and this person would have then taken the wick that was lying in the oil, and they would have lit it up by fire, and then this person would have walked with this jar, with oil, with a wick that was on fire, or that was providing light. Now, what does this mean? It means that we as Christians have to be filled of the Holy Spirit. And as we are filled of the Holy Spirit, we have the oil of the Holy Spirit inside of us. And we have a wick coming out of us, which is the word of the Lord. And as the Holy Spirit and the word of the Lord is combined in our lives, and it gets lit up by the fire of God or by the fire of the Holy Spirit, we become a light. Are you there? Are you with me? So your container, your vessel, should be full of oil. The oil, or the word of the Lord, the word of God, should be in the oil, and that wick should be lit with fire, and wherever you go, you should be able to provide light. Oh, come on, guys. This is a little bit prophetic teaching tonight, I know, but this is important for us to understand. Because a Christian without power is illegitimate. We have to show power. We have to show strength. We have to show dominion. Are you guys with me? And tonight is, again, guys, I want you to catch what I'm saying, because Paul says it like this. He says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. In other words, the power is inside of me. The oil of God is inside of me. Then out of me runs a wick. It is called the word of the Lord. And as that wick gets lit up by fire, I become a light. The Bible says the word of God is a light unto our feet and a guide unto our path. Oh, this is key for me to, for everybody to get. I want you to understand here something. That every single one of us, I said it this morning and I wanted to say this again tonight, that God does His best work. Every single one of us, we can liken our lives to like a seed. And when you take a seed, and as you take a seed and you plant it into the darkness, what happens is, as the seed is in the darkness, the seed's potential is inside of it. In other words, the DNA of the seed is inside of the seed. Come on, just say amen to that quickly for a moment here. The potential of the seed is inside of the seed. Are you there? And as the potential of the seed is inside of the seed, what happens is that as soon as that seed hits the ground, the seed starts to dictate to its surroundings who the seed is. And then that seed starts to speak to all of its surroundings, and the seed literally starts to say to its surroundings, I need water, I need light, I need nutrients, I need sustenance, I need power. And it literally starts to draw to the seed what the seed needs to burst out. Are you there? So every single one of you guys that are on with us tonight on our different platforms, every single one of you are a seed that God has placed in the ground. Or we can say it like this: when God spoke about your life, you are a purpose. You are a purpose that lives in a body that walks the planet. Oh, come on. Let me say it like this. When God wanted to do something on planet Earth, when God had a purpose for you, when God had a plan for you, when God had a thought about you, you were a God thought because before you ever walked the planet. So long before we ever came to this planet, we were a thought of God. God thought, oh, I want this potential on the planet. I want this power on the planet. I want this person to do this for me. Then God spoke His potential onto the earth. God said, I want that potential to walk in a woman's body. I want that potential to walk in a man's body. I want that potential to be born to that person and that person. I want that potential to live in that area. And there they will grow up. There they will demonstrate my kingdom. And there they will live out their whole lives. Oh, come on. Are you guys with me? So every single one of us, we are a God thought We are at God's potential walking on the planet. And wherever the Lord has placed us, we are there to dictate to our surroundings. We are there to dictate to everything that is around us who He is that is within us. We are not here to let the surroundings tell us who we are. It's reversed. It is us that tells our surroundings who we are. It's no longer I that live. It's Christ living inside of me. It is the power of God that is made evident in my weakness. It is the power of God that is made evident in my lack. It is the power of God that is made evident in and through me. Right through the Bible. Come on, I'm preaching to you now. I can feel the power of God. Right through the Bible, we see a God that takes ordinary people and makes them extraordinary people, because somewhere they've become convinced of not who they are, but who their God is. And every time that they would sway their hearts away from the Lord, God will challenge them in their hearts, and their hearts will return to the Lord. And as their hearts return to the Lord birthed nations, the Lord birthed cities, the Lord birthed movements through people. And in 2021 years ago, there was a young man coming onto the scene. He was 30 years of age. Everybody thought he was an ordinary man, but everything about that young man was extraordinary. The only people that knew who he was his mother. That young man came onto the scene and everybody ridiculed him. They called him a carpenter's son. They called him usual. They called him ordinary. They thought, who are you to speak of kingly things? Who are you to speak as if you have royalty and majesty and dominions and powers? Who are you to challenge the status quo? Who are you to challenge traditions and the norm of the day? But this young man was under the command of heaven. This young man had power that nobody else knew about. This young man did not come on his own word. He came on the authority that God has given to him. And I'm here to tell you tonight, you don't need the permission of man when you have the permission of God. You don't need the approval of man once you have been approved by the Lord. There has been many in this hour that has been counted in. But let me prophesy to you in this night. The people that have counted you out will have smirks on their faces once again, but because God is about to move upon this earth, and those that sit on the benches, those that sit on the side, will not be in on the movement that God is about to do. I tell you the truth, they may ridicule you, they may judge you, they may despise you, they may look upon you, they may talk about you in secret, they may say this cannot be done, but I'm here to testify to you and to bring His words to remembrance. All things are possible. All things are possible. If He could open up the Red Sea, He can bring the millions. If He can challenge the lions, He can come back through for you. If He can take David out of every trouble and rescue him from every snare, who is he that He cannot rescue us? If God can take one man that sat in a prison cell dreaming about his future, and one night God can take him all the way from the prison cell to the palace, how can we not believe these things? We serve the God that can take a barrier and turn it into a blessing. We serve a God that doesn't just answer by water, but answers by water and by fire. And I don't know where you are tonight, but I am here to provoke a new fire inside of you. To say to you that there's a God that is with you. There's a power that is evident inside of you. And excuse me if I'm excited about this, but I have waited. I have served the Lord faithfully for 17 years. And I've waited for an hour, for a moment, for a time, that there will come a roar back onto the planet, because God wants to restore the roar. God wants to restore the worship. God wants to restore the praise. God wants to restore that what was lost. And everyone that has become lukewarm because of distance from the source, God is revisiting the hearts of His people in this hour, because He wants power back. He wants to revisit His people. And I tell you the truth, look to the latter part of this year. Look to 2022 and you will see a divine acceleration. You will see the kingdom come. You will see power, majesty, signs, wonders, and miracles like never before. Christians will not be silenced. Christians will not fit in. Christians will not submit to the status quo. No, they will become the standard. There will be a group of people rising up in this hour that will have so much of the power of God living inside of them that the devil himself will not know what to do with these people. You see, Satan ran out He ran out of ideas. He ran out of tricks when it came to Jesus. He thought, we have him. We got him. The son is dead. He said it. It is finished. And Hal celebrated. Hal thought for a moment, oh, we won. We won. No, you just lined yourself up for the greatest defeat that you would ever have. I don't know where you are tonight. You need to come and back to me. But I am prophesying and I'm speaking to you tonight that I believe that there's a power that's going to come to you, that's going to come and visit you, that's going to help you, that's going to strengthen you, that's not going to turn your back on you. You see, Peter said this to Jesus. He said, when Jesus said, I'm going to go to the cross. Peter said, never, never, never. Never will this happen to you. Jesus turns around and he said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus rebukes him. Jesus says, you do not have the things of God in your heart. You have the things of man in your heart. You don't have the things of God. You have the things of man upon your heart. And then the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 5, the Bible says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. That's the Greek word, omai. That means they may, some may, but me, I will never. Never, ever, ever. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. No, never. And as a son of man, I want you to understand why are we so passionate? Because I have understood something about my God. He's not my father's God and it's not my father's God only. He's my God. It's not my wife's God. It's not my children's God. It's not my uncle's God. He's my God. He's my God. He's my God. He's mine. My God. I'm his. And I've discovered something about him. His power is best manifested not in my strength, in my weakness. When I empty myself, I make myself a qualifier of the oil. When I empty myself, I make myself a qualifier for the power to rest upon me. You see, if you've made up your mind to do nothing without God, God will make up his mind to do nothing without you. Because the Lord cannot intervene unless there's a man and a woman that sticks up their hand and says, Lord, use me. And I pray that I may provoke something in your lives tonight, that you may say, Lord, use me. Here I am. Use my life. You might not have a perfect start. You might not have a perfect way that you get out of that blocks. That does not matter. The point of the matter is that you start. You have to start. Somewhere you have to start. You have to believe the Lord. You have to trust the Lord. You have to walk out in faith. There will always be 11 reasons and 11 disciples and 11 people all around you that will give you 11 reasons why it's not possible to walk on the water. Yet we find Peter walking on the water. Theory, listen. Theory for why it cannot be dies down when it was and when it is. In other words, everybody that has an opinion why it cannot be, they will all keep quiet when you actually start to do what everybody else says you cannot do. Oh, come on, guys. Come on back to me quickly. This is powerful. And so about the seed, I want you to understand this. When God sends the seed to the earth, every single one of you, you are a purpose. Say that in the comments. Say, I am a purpose. I have a purpose. Because if you can understand, listen, just stay with me for this revelation. You have to catch what I'm going to say. You are a potential. God has given you everything. It lives inside of you. Everything you have is inside of you. Your future is inside of you. Eternity dwells inside of you. It is on the inside of you. That is where it is. Are you there? Are you with me? And so what I want you to get is this. It's when God sends a seed to the earth, or when God plants a seed into the ground, he gives principles for that seed to flourish. And so when a manufacturer, when a maker wants to let a seed flourish or wants something to come out, what the manufacturer does, he just gives the principles. The manufacturer never needs to get involved again because he's given the rules of how to get the full potential out of that seed. And so as you are listening to me tonight, I want you to understand something. Your full potential is inside of you. And as you've been planted in the darkness, as you've been planted in the dark. And as you've looked around you, I don't know what circumstances you've gone through, but what I do know is this, is that what is around me never dictates to me who I am. I said it before and I'll say it again. In a world that is completely self-driven right now, that we are living in a world that is completely in love with themselves. So in this world that people are completely in love with themselves, where it's man first, we need to have a God first mentality. And I want you to understand this. Sometimes to trust God means you have to be brave. Can I say that again? Sometimes to trust God, you have to be brave. You have to have an interruption and be brave. Are you guys with me? Oh, I pray that you catch what I'm saying tonight. You have to be brave. You see, when the principles is applied, the manufacturer never gets involved. He just sends his product with his manual. In other words, when I give you a phone, with the phone, I give you a manual. If I give you a car, I give you a manual. If I give you a computer, I give you a manual. With everything that somebody else has made, he gives a manual. The manual is there to ensure that the product functions on its ultimate level. Please stay with me. You and I are a product of God. The full potential of God is living inside of us. But God didn't just send us to the planet without a manual. We have received the manual. Here it is. The word of the Lord is the manual. God has given us all the instructions we need to reach our full potential. And my question to you tonight is this. Will you trust God? Will you believe the Lord that you can step back into that power? It's amazing for me that the disciples, just have a thought here, the disciples in Acts chapter number 1, they casted lots to decide who the 12th disciple would have been. Because by then Judas has betrayed Jesus, he was running away, he was busy committing suicide. And so the disciples needed to choose another disciple, and so they chose Matthias. And they did it by lots. But nowhere in the Bible ever again do we find the disciples casting lots. Why not? Because they got the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit now was the one that's going to lead them. The Holy Spirit was now the one that's going to guide them. The Holy Spirit was now the one that's going to help them. And it was the Holy Spirit that was now going to teach them and bring to remembrance all things. Guys, there we are. Quickly take a moment. Just share the gospel. Get it out. Because as you share the gospel, as you're getting out, I want you to catch a powerful, powerful revelation here tonight that I believe is going to be able to change your life if you catch it. Because if you catch the power of the seed, and I want you to catch this, what I'm saying. Again, I say, I want you to understand, a seed has in itself the DNA, right? The seed in itself has DNA. It's called an endosperm. It's inside of the seed is the DNA. Then you get the embryo, you get the endosperm, you get the embryo, and you get the outer shell. Now, you have a spirit, you live in a soul, or you have a soul, you live in a body. You are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. Do you see the parallel? You are a seed, you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. You are a seed, there's an endosperm, there is an embryo, and there's an outer shell. Now, everything that happens in our lives to us, everything that happens to us is for God to deal with your soul dimension and for God to deal with the outer shell. Now, as soon as you understand what Paul the Apostle understood, that it is Christ living inside of me, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives inside of me, you will understand the treasure of darkness, as the book of Isaiah says. The book of Isaiah says there's treasure in the darkness. Why? Because if I want to create an image, please listen to me carefully. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 29, we are the image of God. The word image there is the Greek word pohe, which means snapshot or picture. In other words, when God wants to create a picture, He does it in the darkness. Because where do you create the images? Where does a person that takes photos, where does the picture gets developed? The picture gets developed in the darkness. The picture gets developed in the unseen. The picture gets developed there where nobody sees. And when the time is right, the picture gets revealed. Oh, come on, are you there? It's much like we're doing right now at Empowered Church. Today we have the special service and we don't have service in the church. Why? We are doing something new in the darkness. Nobody is seeing what we're busy doing. Why? Because we're going to reveal it in its splendor or in its glory or in its full purpose or in its full potential. The same with you. God does His work in you in the darkness. That at the appropriate time, God brings you to the surface. The seed develops. It starts to pull from its nutrients. It starts to pull from the water. It starts to pull from the light, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It starts to pull from the water, which is the word of the Lord. It starts to pull from the ground, which is the environment that you've placed in, the area that you've This seed starts to germinate. The seed starts to grow and it shoots out of the ground. And then everybody sees it. Are you guys with me? Oh, come on, guys. Quickly talk back to me just for a moment. Share. And I want to give you a secret here tonight. Say of me this word. Say of me His mercies. It's new every day. Say me just that. His mercies is new every day. His mercies is new every day. Because I want to show you something here. Oh, please quickly talk back to me. In the book of Revelation, in the book of Ephesians, listen to this. This is very powerful, but it's going to help you. Book of Ephesians. Won't you guys just, I'm going to give you the scripture just now. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, verse number 13. Please listen to this. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, verse number 13. This is power. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. Let me read that again. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. Say of me a day. Say of me a day. There where we are, say of me a day. Because I want to show you something. Just say of me a day. Verse number 13 again says, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand therefore in the evil day. When does the devil enter? In a day. Please listen, I'm going to give you a secret here. The enemy enters in a day. When is God's mercies? It's new every day. And what Satan does, please listen to me carefully. Satan entered somewhere in a day. One day became 2 days. 2 days became a bad week. A bad week became about 2 weeks. About 2 weeks became a month. A month became a cycle. A cycle became a pattern. A pattern became a season. A season became a lifestyle. Let me say that again. Somewhere the enemy entered into a day. That day became more than one day. That more than one day's became more than 1 week. That more than 1 week became a month. That month became a pattern or a cycle. That cycle became a season. That season now has become a lifestyle, or you're now living in it. In other words, if you want to cast the enemy out of your life, you just need to discover by the Holy Spirit which place or which day that the devil enter in. There was just one place that he entered in. He doesn't have many roads. He's got one road. Just one. And there's so many people that are stuck in bitterness. They are stuck in offense. They're stuck in unforgiveness. They are stuck outside their potential. They are stuck outside their limits. Let me say it like this. In my hand, I have an iPhone. If I have this iPhone in my hand and I place it into my five-year-old's hands, she will not know how to take out of this iPhone its full potential. Why? Because she doesn't have all the principles in her heart or in her mind to take out everything that's inside of this phone. However, if you place this phone inside of my hand, I know the potential of the phone because I bought the phone. I paid a price for the phone. I have known out of experience what iPhones must do and can do. But if I take this phone and I place it into a toddler's hands and they don't understand what my toddler will do, she will most likely read a little bit of a story. She will watch a little bit of Netflix. That's it. But if you take this phone and you put it into my hand, I will pull out of it its full potential. Listen, why? I paid for it. I've bought it. I know its potential and I know its principles. The same of you. You are bought by the blood. You are purchased by the high price of Jesus Christ. And now the full potential that is inside of you must come out. Oh, guys, come on, say amen to that. The full potential that is inside of you must come out. And so this is what I want you to understand tonight. The manufacturer does not put into the world any defaults or any ill products. Oh, come on. Please take that what I've just said to you just now. A manufacturer does never ever sends a defected product into the world. Why? The manufacturer's name is on the line. And the very same thing with us. When we get sent into the world, we are not defected by nature. Are you there? Everything inside of us are there for the perfect potential of Jesus Christ. Oh, come on, guys. I want you to talk back to me because this is key for us to understand. So the problem, listen, the problem is never with the seed. It is with the soil. Let me say that again. The problem is never with the seed. It is with the soil. Now, you can ask the question tonight, and you have to ask the question. It'll be a good question to ask. Gebar, how do you tie all of this back to 2 Kings chapter number 4, verse number 12, or verse number 2? Because here's what the prophet Elisha says. Please listen to this. So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, listen to what he says. Then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and do not just gather a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, and then pour. Listen to me. Most of you that are on here tonight, you would have done things for God behind the scenes. You would have done things for God behind closed doors where nobody else would have seen. And the secret of the increase lies in the pouring of that happens behind the scenes. Because Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 6, "Now when thou go into thy bedroom, close thy door and pray unto thy Father which is unseen." And the word bedroom there is the word tamion. The word tamion means secret place or most precious place or the place that is the most popular. That's the word tamion. Or the most cherished place, the place of high worth. And what I want you to catch tonight is just very simply this, is that she went behind closed doors and she started to pour the oil. But this is what I want you to catch. She poured what she had and God started to increase what she had, and what she had became more and more and more and more and more. But God was not filling full vessels. God was filling empty vessels. And God was keeping on filling empty vessels until such a time that he couldn't find empty vessels anymore. And then the oil ceased. And so this is the word of the Lord for you tonight. If you would reckon yourself to be empty, God will reckon yourself as an awesome candidate to pour himself into. Can I say that again? If you would see yourself as empty, God will see you as a perfect candidate to pour himself into. Are you there? And what I love about the scripture is this. Is this lady, the prophet said to her, don't just gather a few. In other words, get every empty vessel that you can. Because what I'm going to supply to you is going to be so much that it's going to be enough, not just for you, but for your neighbors, for your neighbors' neighbors. And I'm going to supply the whole chain. I'm going to supply everybody for what you bring. You see, you might be like the boy with two fishes and five loaves. You never thought that your breakfast is going to serve 5,000 people. But I'm here to tell you tonight that if you are willing to give God what you have, God is willing to take that what is empty and create through that something massive. Oh, come on. You are literally dressed. You are literally dressed to conquer. You are dressed to kill. You are dressed to overcome. You are dressed to walk in power. God has not chosen you to live a life of ordinary. He has chosen you to live a life of the extraordinary. But you have to choose. You have to choose emptiness. Because it's not, God does not want weak Christians. And I want you to understand what I'm saying here. Because when you say you're weak, you are saying I've got no potential. No, that's untrue. When you say you are weak, you have to say I've got full potential in Christ. In other words, let me say it like this. Maybe this will quantify and clarify. If I take this phone again, this phone, outside a socket, outside a power chain, has no potential. No, zero. It's got literally nothing. If I take a phone and I take it outside, if I take it outside its connection, outside its wire, if I make it unplugged, it has no potential. But if I take this phone and I plug it in, I will have the full potential of the phone. Why? It's switched on. Are you there? So as a Christian, when you say you are weak, you are correct if you're unplugged. But when you are plugged in, the extraordinary life should become available. Oh, come on, guys. Are you with me? And all that God wants is persistence from you. God wants from you perseverance. You have to be fully persuaded. Are you there? Fully persuaded. Because God will not break his promise. Oh, come on, guys. I want you to say amen tonight. Just say on this, to throw in the box, in the comment section, just say amen. Because I want you to catch something here. I'm gonna share something with you now. God tells Abraham, and I hope this word is speaking deep inside of your heart tonight. God tells Abraham this. He says, Abraham, take your son, your only son, the son whom you love. Go and offer him up on a mountain that I shall show you. Take your son, your only son, the son whom you love. But God, you've just given me a promise that I will inherit sons and my offspring will be as much as the sand of the sea. Yeah, I know, but take your son, your only son. So here Abraham goes, he takes his son, his only son. He starts to climb a mountain. Isaac asks Abraham, Abraham, my father, where is the lamb? Abraham says, my son, God will provide his own lamb. Abraham climbs the mountain. Then on top, listen to me carefully, on top of the mountain, Abraham takes out the knife. He reaches the place of being fully persuaded. He reaches the place of being fully persuaded. And as he reaches the place of being fully persuaded, he's about to plunge that knife into Isaac when God speaks again. And God says this to him. He says, "Now I know that you fear me. Now I know that you love me, because you have not withheld your son, your only son." But God says your only son. Why is he saying your only son? Because Ishmael is on the scene. It wasn't just Isaac, there was Ishmael as well. But Abram's heart was with his son. And so Abram's heart was with Isaac. Do you see what I see? Ishmael was there, but God was not interested in Ishmael. God was interested in Isaac, because Abram's heart was of Isaac. And because Abram's heart was of Isaac, God wanted Isaac. But what Abram didn't know, he was climbing the problem on the one side. But on the other side, the ram was busy climbing. And where did they meet? And I'm going to tell you now, about to plunge that knife, God stops. The angel of the Lord appears again and says, "Whoa, Abram, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't want your son. I don't need your son. I will provide my own. I will provide my own lamb." And then we see a ram in the thickets. But here you have to understand the revelation here. On the one side, Abraham is climbing a problem in obedience. He's going to kill the promise on top of the mountain. Isaac was the promise of God given to Abraham. But what Abraham didn't know is on the one side, him and Isaac was climbing the mountain. On the other side, the ram was busy climbing. Let me say it like this. On this one side, the problem was busy climbing. On the other side, the solution was busy climbing. On the one side, the promise was busy climbing. On the other side, the potential was busy climbing. And both of them met one another together in the place called obedience. You see, my friends, what you have to understand, there will be many mountains that you're going to climb for God when you're already called by the Lord. But as you climb the mountains for the Lord, what you will find every single time when you walk out in obedience, every single time that you stay obedient to the call of God, God will drive the rams up the mountains. And here's a revelation for you about the ram. Rams don't climb mountains. They don't at all. They are scared. They normally will just go up a little bit, but they never go to the top. And so why is that? Because God does not break his promise. God was not about to break the promise to Abraham. God wanted to see, does he have Abraham with him? God wanted to see, is Abraham's heart with him? And as soon as he detected that Abraham's heart is with him, God said, "Listen, let me give you the fullness of the potential." And the Bible says that after that, Abram was increased. And the same angel said to him this, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, wait. I don't need your son. I'm going to provide your own." And then Abram says this. Listen to what Abram says. Abram says, "Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider." Listen, God can never become your provider unless you have been called to a place where you have been obedient to the place that you are ready to give up the promise to stay obedient. It is at the place that you are willing to give up the promise, trusting God, that God says, "No, I don't break promises. I fulfill promises. But I want to see where your heart is at. Is your heart still with me?" Oh, come on. And at that place, never, ever, ever did Abraham ever lack anything ever again. Why? Because God would become his full provider. God would become his Jehovah Jireh. God will become his sustenance. God will become his sustainer. And for the rest of Abraham's life, it was the Lord that was his provider. Yes, Lord. Let me say it like this. The Israelites, they come to the Red Sea. They have just been taken out of Egypt. And the Red Sea appears in front of them as a barrier. As a barrier. At the back of them is Pharaoh and a full army, busy coming onto them with full strength. The Bible says Pharaoh took 600 of his best chariots. to chase the Israelites down? Why will you send your whole army if there was not people with potential in front of you? But listen to this. The Israelites come and they stand in front of the Red Sea. In front of the Red Sea, the Red Sea is a barrier to them. They start to complain. They start to moan. Moses starts to cry out to God. Moses says, Why are we here now? And God says to Moses, Moses, what is in your right hand? Moses says, a staff. God says, please lift your staff. Moses lifts his staff. And as Moses lifts his staff, the Bible says the Red Sea, the wind of the Lord, the Ruach, the Holy Spirit start to blow on the Red Sea. And the Red Sea starts to split. And the Israelites starts to move through on dry ground. What was a barrier became a highway. What seems like an obstacle became a road. Now the Israelites go through on dry ground. The Bible says now God waits. He waits until all of his people has passed through. And at the very, very end, when the last Israelite exits the water, God closes the water. What was a blessing to the Israelites was a barrier to the Egyptians. Oh, come on. Oh, let me say that again. What was a blessing to the Israelites was a barrier to the Egyptians. I'm here to tell you tonight that what is a blessing to you will be a barrier to your enemy. That what is a provision to you will be a resistance to your enemy. That what is a saving grace for you will be a power against your enemy. And your enemy would want to pursue you through the waters, but they cannot come through that waters. Why? Because it is a barrier unto them, but it's a highway unto you. It is a resistance unto them, but it is a road unto you. It is the Lord that makes a way for you. It is the God that opens up the Red Sea for you. And now I want you to see something else. The Bible says, now the Israelites go into the wilderness, but they complain again because in the wilderness they don't have water. And now God provides water for them in the wilderness. In other words, what was a blessing to them and what was a barrier to the Egyptians now becomes a blessing following them into the wilderness. Oh, come on. And when other people are busy literally struggling by thirst, God supplies his people with provision. Oh, he's a way maker. He's a way maker. Come on, can we say that? He is a way maker. He is a destiny shaper. He is the one that makes a way where there seems to be no way. He's the one that raises a standard when no standard seems to be needed to be raised. He's the one that goes up against your enemies. He's the one that fulfills his promises. He's the one that says yes and amen to himself. He is the faithful witness. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He's the one that called Lazarus out of that tomb. He is the one that emptied Joseph's dream out of that prison cell. He is the one that visited Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. He is the one that has called you by name. Come on, let's take a praise break. Come on, just take a break there and quickly praise the Lord. There we are. Give Jesus a shout. If you were in church tonight, I would have said to you, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. So now I want you guys to catch this. Are you with me? Are you okay? Are you there? And again, I want to encourage every single one of you guys. Listen, tonight is different, and the reason why it's different is because we are setting ourselves up for our great reveal. On the 17th of October, we are upgrading everything around us. And as you guys come back on the 17th of October, you're going to walk into a brand new Empower that's going to last for the next 10 years and more. I'm super excited about that. But what I want to do tonight is this. Yes, Lord. So I want you to understand something about God. Guys, quickly talk back to me. Throw it in the comments. Am I talking to you? Is this word reaching your heart? Because just say to me, it's reaching my heart. It reaches me. Just comment, it reaches me. Because I want this word to catch you. I want this word to come into you. I want you to catch this word, because if you do, the rest of your life is going to be magnificent. Are you with me? Why does God write into the Bible? Listen to me. I'll give you a quick history here. God writes about Abram. Abram was a liar. He was deceitful. He was a swindler. God writes about Jacob that steals a blessing. God writes about Joseph that sat with his dream in a prison cell. God writes about Peter that was a betrayer. God writes about Paul that was Saul that persecuted his church. God writes about James and John that couldn't control their tongues. The point is, why will the Lord use all of these imperfect people in His Bible? It's simple. It's because God still wants every single one of us to know this is a God story with a God ending, and we are God's vessels for His purpose. The Bible says, Romans chapter number 8, verse number 28, the Bible says, all things work together for those that are called according to His purpose and loves the Lord. Bible says, Romans chapter number 8, verse number 28, I'm going to throw this at you. The Bible says, all things work together for those that are called according to the purpose of God and that loves the Lord. Okay? Now, what does this word mean, all things work together? The word all things work together is the Greek word synergeo. The word synergeo is the word symphony. It means everything around you finds symphony for the purpose that He's called you to. And again, I don't know what the Lord has called you to, but what I do know is that everything finds symphony for what He has called you to. Because you're not just someone, you are His beloved. That's a whole other story. You're not just a child, you are His child. And that's why everything finds symphoneo. It finds symphony. It finds harmony. It sounds as one. So God takes everything and He makes it work together. So you're saying, whoa, Gilbert, are you saying to me tonight that issue, that pain, that shame, that hindrance, that obstacle, all of that is in symphony? What is the word symphony? The word symphony means in one tune. In other words, there's different instruments that plays simultaneously, and if one of them are out of tune, you'll hear it. So if God says, I make all things work in symphony, what He is saying is, He's saying, I will let every single piece of your life create one sound according to your purpose that is inside of me because you love me. In other words, I'll make all things work together. The shame, the pain, the trouble, the fear, the anxiety, the loss, the uncertainty, the faith, the hope, the strength. I will make all things work together. Everything. Everything will find symphony if you stay according to the purpose. And so here's my question tonight. Very simple. You have a word out that's over your life. And like Elisha, I'm asking you tonight, what do you have? What do you have? And you can say, but I have nothing but a jar of oil. Well, it's enough. It's sufficient. It's enough. And now my question to you would be, are you counting yourself as an empty vessel? Because if you do, God can and will pour His power through you. Are you there? Are you with me? He will pour His power through you. Because you have realized, and you might have made the switch tonight, and that would have been my hope, and that was my aim for tonight, that you would make the switch. Paul the Apostle said these words. He said, I was sent a messenger of Satan, a thorn of the flesh, to buffet me. But then Paul the Apostle reaches a place where he says, but his grace is sufficient for me. The word grace here is the word supply. It's the word power. His power is sufficient. Where? Because I am weak. That's why the weak can say, I am strong. Listen, let me give you this as a testimony. This is what I want you to get. 18 months ago, all of us went into this season of COVID. Nobody, 18, 19 months ago, nobody knew how long this is going to take. The best of us, I remember I prophesied, I said, you know, in the beginning I said 9 months, the first break will come, and I was right. But none of us knew the length of this. Are you there? Now, if I look back over the last 20 months, I'm thinking to myself, the church grew, and before COVID, we had a church in Pretoria, and we had not gone through many things. But now, 19 months later, we have still a church in Pretoria that is bigger than what it's ever been. We have a location in Cape Town. We have a location in Durban. We have a location in Secunda. We have a church in Witbank. We have a international TV ministry. And I'm not saying these things to brag. I'm just saying, I'm naming the facts here. And I look at these things and I say to myself, how is this possible? And the only answer that I can find is this. All things work together. So God was working everything out when we were weak. God was working everything out when we did not feel strong. God worked everything out, and the only thing He required was little by little. Little by little, you take the land. Little by little, you build the dream. Little by little, you take your steps out of that boat. Little by little. How do you do it? Little by little. But I'm here to tell you tonight, and this is what I want you to catch. You and I are at a place in this moment, in this night, in this time. We are at a place, we are at a juncture right now where we need to give Jesus everything we've got. We have to be like the man at Gadara, the man that was bound. He was labeled. He was positioned. He was imprisoned by his circumstances. The people called him a man that was demon-possessed. The people called him a man that were full of a legion of demons. But when he saw Jesus, he knew he had one bullet left. He had one chance left. He had one aim left. And he aimed it at Jesus. And he went for Jesus with everything he got. And Jesus Christ set him free. He made him brought him back into his sane mind. And that man was changed. But he pointed his last bullet to Jesus, and he worshipped Jesus, and it was his worship that set him free. Oh, how great is God! How awesome is his works! How mysterious is his ways! Who can know it? And so tonight I want to pray for you, and I want to encourage you as I pray. I've been going at this full steam because I'm so passionate for what the Lord's going to do. I am not just passionate about what God's going to do. I'm obedient to what God wants to do. Because I believe that 2022 is going to be the year of double restoration. I believe that we have all gone through different seasons and different times and different moments. But I believe that as we come as empty vessels, and we say, Lord, our strength comes in your power. It's in that God manifests himself. It is in the weakness that his power comes. Are you there? I want you to catch a picture. It's I would say, it's the greatest revelation that I have. I understand a lot about God's power. I've seen demons cast out. I've seen cancer healed. I've seen blind eyes see. I've seen deaf ears hear. I've seen the dead come back to life. I've seen many things by power. But I believe the greatest revelation you can ever have about God is that He scandalously, ridiculously loves you. And so this is the picture that I want you to understand. And I'll close with this. And I want every single one, because I'm going to ask you for your names and I'm going to prophesy over you in a moment. The Bible says this. Listen to me. I'm going to give you more revelation. Quickly comment in the comment section. Say revelation. Save me revelation. I don't want you to get lazy now tonight as you guys are all online on all of our platforms. Save me revelation. A revelation. I want you to see something here. Just comment revelation. The prodigal son comes to his father. He says, Father, I want my inheritance. I want my inheritance. And the father says, the Bible says he is the younger son. Okay? So according to Jewish tradition, he got one third. The older brother got two thirds. The younger brother's got one third, not two thirds, one third. He's younger. The older brother's got two thirds. The younger brother leaves the house. The older brother stays. And so many sermons are preached about the prodigal son, about the prodigal son leaving, spending all that he had, and wasting it on frivolous living. And then returning and the Father having grace on him and restoring him. And that's awesome. And we need to preach that sermon. And I've preached that sermon more than once. But here's a sermon that nobody preaches. The eldest boy stayed. And guess who had more? Not the youngest boy that came back. The eldest boy that stayed. The eldest boy had two thirds. But the eldest boy never had a revelation of his identity. And because he never had a revelation of his identity, he was challenged when the father reaffirmed the younger son's identity. Because when the younger boy came home, the father didn't want his full speech. The father just said, listen, I'm going to cloak you. I'm going to put a ring on you and you're going to get everything back. He slaughtered the fattened calf. He celebrated him. He gave him everything back. When the younger boy was still smelling like his mistakes, still smelling like his failure, still smelling like his big discussions, he was still smelling like a failure. And the father clothed him back into the family. But the elder brother had a problem with that because he always stayed. And the elder brother comes in from the field and the elder brother says, but why have you... I've always been here. And the father says to the eldest brother, and this is what I want you to understand, because it's applicable to both brothers. The father says to the eldest son, but didn't you understand that all that I have was always yours? Didn't you understand that you always had full access? And so here's the revelation. In all of the Christian houses, in all of our churches, there's two types of sons. There's the sons that's going to go into the world. They're going to learn hard lessons. They're going to lose everything. They're going to come back to the Father and He's going to restore them with His scandalous, ridiculous love. And before that son could have even said his little dialogue or story that he thought up, the father was already on him, kissed him while he was smelling like pigs, kissed him while he was smelling like a failure, robed him back with identity and placed a ring upon him. And then there's another son that was always in the house, yet he never knew who he was. He never knew his identity until the father restored it back. And here's the point. The father is the same to both sons. He's the source. Because the young boy says, I want to go back to my father's house. The word father there is the word pater. It means source. I want to go back to the source. This young son needs to be returned to the source. And the old son has to get a revelation about the source. Both of them need to have identity for them to have destiny. Oh, come on. And so, I don't know which of the two sons you are. But the point is, both of the two sons have to go back to the source. Both of the two sons need to get a revelation of the source. Because when they get a revelation of the source, they get a revelation of their identity, and then they get a revelation of their abilities. Are you there? Listen, let me say it like this. I'll throw one more at you. One more at you. My children, when they stand in front of my fridge, I always did this when my parents were still alive. I would go to their house. I would walk into their house, even when I was, you know, I could buy whatever I wanted with my own. I would walk into the house. I will open up the fridge. I will take out the very best. I will eat it. I will leave. Why? I'm a son. I didn't pay for it. I didn't need to pay for it. I'm a son. Now, a couple of years later, my children are doing exactly the same. And my children, listen to me carefully. My children never stands in front of the fridge praying and saying this, Father, I pray that you bless me with that is inside this fridge. No, these kids of mine, they open up that fridge, and when there's not something inside, they become upset. They even become arrogant. They even become irritant. They're like, hey, where's the milk? Hey, where's this? Hey, where's the juice? Hey, where's the cool drink? Hey, where's the chips? Hey, where's the chocolate? They have an attitude. Why? They have become acquainted with the source. Are you with me? And so you can get an attitude, and this is your attitude. You can get an attitude called boldness. Boldness means you need to claim what's yours. Boldness means, please stop living like you are less worthy of the source. No, go and stand in front of the throne of grace. Go knock on that door as loud as what you can and say, how do I get back on top? I do it with a little attitude. How do I get back to my healing? I do it with a little attitude. How do I get out of poverty? I do it with a little attitude. How do I get free from oppression? I do it with a little bit of an attitude. How do I get free from anxiety and fear? I do it with a little bit of an attitude. How do I walk away from people's opinions and labels over my life? I do it with a little bit of an attitude. I have an attitude. I dress with an attitude. I walk with an attitude. I speak with an attitude. What attitude? The attitude of a son. The attitude of a daughter that has discovered my purpose, that has discovered my identity. And so you and I, we can walk with an attitude and say, hey, we are children of the Most High God. We have dignity allocated to us. We have royalty that's running into our veins. We are not ordinary. We are extraordinary because we have been affirmed by the source who has given us our identity. And what he says doesn't just stand, it counts. It counts now and forevermore. It stands. It stands. Boldness. It's the word mitzvah. Boldness. 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 We need to get back boldness. Oh, guys, oh, hallelujah. I am so excited for next week's Sunday to preach this word of boldness. Because when you guys are around me, I can pull from your energy. I can pull from your attitude. How do we claim back what is ours? We do it with an attitude. And so tonight I want to bring you to this place. And I want the names. I'm going to ask you for your name tonight. Because many of you, you're either like the lady that has a little bit left, and you're seeping power. And God is telling you tonight, bring me that little bit of oil. Empty yourself of you so I can fill you with me. Or you can be like the prodigal son. And you've been among the pigs. You smell like pigs. You talk like a pig. You dress like one. Smell like one. You know how we stay stuck with the pigs. We are more interested. This is how you stay stuck. We stay stuck in this generation by refreshing our news feeds more regularly than what we refresh our hearts. Let me say that again. Most people are offended, they are bitter, they are living less than their potential, they're in poverty, they are full of demons, they are living less than their potential. Why? Because they are more interested in refreshing their news feeds than what they are interested in refreshing their hearts. And we've allowed the world to come out, become our thermometer, to tell us who we are. And I'm here to say, no, the world does not have the answer for me. I have the answer for the world. His name is Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave it Jesus. For God so loved you that He gave you Jesus. Now don't go back into a lifestyle of refreshing the newsfeed so frequently that you forget to refresh your heart. Oh, come on. You might be like the young son. And the young son said these words. He said, I'm sure in my father's house is hired servants that has more. And so I'm going to go back to the source. I'm going to go back there. The Bible says when the young man was still afar off, the father saw him. And then the father did something that fathers didn't do in the New Testament times. The father ran. The father kissed him. The father embraced him. The father put his cloak around him. The father put his ring on him. The father slayed the best for him. And so tonight, what I want to do, I want you to return back home. I want you to return back to the source. I want you to come back to the Father. That's what I want. And so you can refresh your heart tonight. You can choose to refresh your heart. But for you to refresh your heart, you have to get out of the big discussions. For you to refresh your heart, you have to get out of what others say. And you have to get into what God says. Because what God says stands. Go back to the source. Go back to the source. And so I want to pray for you tonight. And I want to pray that you will break out of the big discussions. That you will come with your jar like this lady. And that you will give it to Jesus. And come as an empty vessel that He can fill up. And the amazing thing was this. I don't have time to teach on that tonight. The amazing thing about this was the vessel that He filled supplied all the needs for the rest of her life. Oh, come on. And so if you say when you are where you are tonight, I recognize, I need to get unstuck and I need to come back. If you were in church tonight, I would have laid hands on you. But I want you to get unstuck. Unstuck. I want you to come back to the source. I want your heart to be refreshed. I want your heart to be renewed. And I want you to come back to the house. Back to the Father's house. Back to your identity. Back to your destiny. Because this journey, that's why I majored on the word, on the seed tonight as a bit of a teaching. Because all that you've gone through is God stripping you from that outer layer so that the real you, the Jacob you, could come out. God's tired of the Esau's. He wants the real people. He wants the real Jacob. It's easy to sit on the outside and judge everybody playing the game. Get off the bench. And come and play with us the game of life with Jesus as our captain. Amen. And so I want to ask you tonight, if that's you tonight and you say, that's me, I want you to comment your name and I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to trust the Lord as I pray for you tonight that you will get unstuck, that you will break out from whatever held you back, whatever circumstance, whatever situation, whatever problem. Get unstuck. If you know about a family member that they stuck, it's time for them too. It's time for you to comment their names and come back. Come back to the full potential. There's more to you. You can be 40 and still stuck. You can be 50 and stuck. You can be 60 and stuck. You can be 70 and stuck. You can be 80 and stuck. You can be 90 and stuck. The good news is there's not an age that He cannot get you unstuck. Are you there? Come on. And so comment those names, guys. Go, run, run, run. And I'm going to pray. I'm just going to give a moment as you guys comment. And as you guys are on this live feed and commenting your names, please share the gospel, get it out. But just comment those names. Comment, comment, comment. Just comment, guys. I'm seeing all the names. I'm seeing all the names. And there we are tonight. I want you to, as, go for it, guys. I feel the Lord says, wait. I'll wait another 10 seconds or so. Let's get those names commented. Comment, comment, comment. Because we want to pray for people. We want to pray for people. And so there we are tonight, all the names that are running, there's many names running. I want you now just to lift your hands. I can't see you tonight. We're going to have a huge celebration next week. Tonight I can't see you, but I want you to lift your hands there where you are. And I want you, if wherever you are tonight, won't you stand? Why don't you just stand? Why don't you just honor this moment of the Lord? And listen, again, I told you, this lady, she poured the oil behind the closed door. Nobody was looking. And your greatest moments of God will happen when nobody is looking. And so, there we are. Why don't you just stand and just lift your hands to the Lord. Lift your hands to heaven. Just lift your hands and I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to ask the Lord to remove three things from you. One, that the Lord will remove the big discussions. Two, that the Lord will not take you out of the situation, but that the Lord will give you faith to advance through this situation. And three, that you'll discover your identity. Because once you discover that, there's not a devil in hell that can stop you. I tell you the truth. And so, Father, I want to pray. First and foremost, Lord, I want to pray for every single person in this night. Every single person, Father. Every single person, Father, that's with me tonight. Lord, I want to pray for every single one of them. Lord, as they are reading their hearts, Lord, as they are saying, Lord Jesus, in this night, as they say, I want to get unstuck. Lord, I pray for every single person. Lord, I pray that they will get out of that place of being stuck. That they will get out of that place of being resisted. That they will get out of that place of that circumstance, of that event, of that place, Lord, where, Lord, whatever was around them, Lord, I pray that they will get unstuck right now in Jesus' name. Secondly, I pray, Heavenly Father, that the big conversations will stop. And in this night, that their hearts may be refreshed in Jesus' name. Then I also want to pray, Father, in this night, that they will discover their identity afresh and anew in Jesus Christ's name. And I pray, Father, that in this night, the breakthrough will come in Jesus Christ's name. And Father, I thank you that in this night, in this moment, the breakthrough visits every single person, Father. As they're commenting, as people are sharing, I pray that your breakthrough will visit them in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray, so be it. Lord, I thank you. Where two or more agree, it shall be done. And Father, I thank you that as I agree with you, so it shall be in Jesus' name. in Jesus' name. I want you to just, there we are, I want you to just say amen to that. Just say amen, amen, amen. Just say amen. Amen and amen. I believe that that great testimonies is going to come through this week. And I want to encourage you tonight again that two things. One, we are redoing the house of the Lord. And we're doing this in obedience to God. And so I am super excited to see you guys on the 17th, our harvest event. You're going to see a lot of that going around. And I want to encourage every single one of you to join us at our harvest event. And also, I want to encourage you that if the Lord has spoken to you tonight, and I want to share just one more thing after I make a call for this. If the Lord has spoken to you tonight and spoken to your heart, won't you share with us? And won't you journey with us? And won't you partner with us in this night, in your worship to the Lord, as you also give to the Lord? Because all of us are, as what we are now, doing something that's going to be not just for us, but for the generations to come, for our children to come. And I want to challenge you to give tonight. I want to ask you to sow into this project. It's literally, we are doing everything by faith. Last week, Sunday, I told you that we are absolutely debt-free. We owe no man nothing. And so I'm still doing this absolutely cash. And so it is for us and for our children and for your children. It is part of the new. And I'm super excited to do that. But I want to take this opportunity to ask you to partner with us. And I want you to give. And then I'm going to pray for you and just speak a word of prophecy out over your life. And then I'll see you on Sunday.
If you've been impacted by this ministry in any way, we want to encourage you to partner with us financially and help us continue delivering God's word all around the world. Visit www.empowerchurch.co.za and find the giving option that works best for you, as well as some of our latest resources. Thank you again for joining us. Now go and live an empowered life.